My brothers and sisters and friends, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today here at Central Mountains Baptist Church. And it's our joy to be with you, to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And now let's open our Bibles as we read the Word of God from Psalm 119, verses 33 to 40. This is the passage which our friend Eshwan will preach from, and it's going to be along the lines of teaching us how to pray through the lens of the Psalms. So Psalm 119, verses 33 to 40. God's Word says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant, who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness." May God bless the reading of His Word and the preaching of it this morning.
Well, I understand that you have been learning about prayer and how the Lord Jesus is teaching us how to pray. So today I'm excited to continue to share about prayer. And just as the disciples asked the Lord Jesus, "Teach us to pray," today we're going to turn to the writer of Psalm 119. And we're going to ask Psalmist, "Teach us to pray." And just a little bit of information about Psalm 119 as we open to it. We see that the author of Psalm 119 is not named in the Bible. However, many Bible scholars regard David and Ezra as the most likely. But whatever it is, we don't know who the author is there. But what we know, that it is the longest psalm, isn't it? All the best doing your devotions through Psalm 119. It took me quite a long time to finish Psalm 119. But one of the most interesting things when we look at how Psalm 119 is structured is amazing. Alright, so if you read throughout Psalm 119, you will get to learn the Hebrew alphabets, all right? And so it's structured. Bible scholars say it's structured as an acrostic, a form where each section is based on the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So today we're going to look at Psalm 119 verses 33 to 40. And I want to begin by sharing with us the main lesson, the big idea for us today. And you'll see that in our PowerPoint slide as well. And this is it, that prayer transforms our lives. So important. You see, prayer is the pathway to a transformed life. And the psalmist in our passage today, he teaches us how to align every aspect of our being, that is our minds, you know, our hearts and our actions and our desires with God's will through sincere and focused prayer. You see, this psalm teaches us how to approach prayer for a personal transformation. And when we think about that, the best people who can instruct us and teach us how to pray are those who are committed to prayer themselves, isn't it? That's the best people we can learn from. And when we look at this psalm, every aspect of this psalm we can see from the psalmist's longing to God and His word, his sincerity, his dependence on God. We can see that this psalmist was a man of prayer. And I've been greatly encouraged by his prayers here. And my prayer this morning is that you would be encouraged as well. Now here's the truth. all of us can improve in our prayer lives, isn't it? And that's why we're going to look at and turn to Psalm 119 and we ask the question, Psalmist, teach us to pray. So this morning I want us to observe a few key things from this passage and see what the psalmist teaches us about prayer. So have your Bibles open to Psalm 119, verses 33, and we'll go verse by verse, and we will see what the Lord has for us this morning. So the first thing that I'd like to share with us, and this is what it is in verses 33 and 34, when we'll read this passage, the first thing we see is that the psalmist teaches us to renew our minds. He provides us with a model of praying for a transformed mind, one that is aligned with God's will and His word. And so these verses highlight verse 33 and verse 34. We're just about to read it, but let me just share with you. These verses highlight two key aspects of how prayer leads to the renewal of our minds. So let's look at verse 33. Let's see what the psalmist prays to God. Verse 33 says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end." So the first aspect of how prayer leads to the renewal of our minds is a teachable heart. And here we see the psalmist's prayer reflects a teachable heart. A heart that is eager to learn, a heart that is eager to grow in our understanding of God's word. And this is a prayer of divine instruction. It's the desire of this psalmist for God's word to shape, to transform his mind and his heart. Let us ask ourselves this morning, do we have a teachable heart? When was the last time you went before God and said, "Lord, teach me"? Here the psalmist is showing us that we need God. We need to go before Him in prayer. We need God's word to shape us and transform us. And the next aspect of how prayer leads to the renewal of our minds is in verse 34. Look with me in verse 34. The psalmist continues by asking, look at verse 34. "Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart." So not just with a teachable heart, but here with an obedient heart. You see, the psalmist seeks understanding from God with a commitment to wholeheartedly understand and obey His commandments. And the lesson for us is that prayer is very essential for the renewal of our minds. I hope that we don't just say, okay, it's enough to read the Bible alone. We must also actively seek God's help through prayer to understand the scriptures. We must ask Him that through His Holy Spirit would teach us to understand, to apply, and to live by His word. And this transformation happens when we come to God in prayer. We come to God in prayer how? Through humility, through a teachable heart, through an obedient heart. So I pray that as we begin this year, let this be your prayer, like the psalmist. Lord, renew my mind, transform my heart through your word. Well, now not only does the psalmist teach us to pray for a renewed mind, but if you look at verse 35, he also teaches us to redirect our walk. Look at verse 35. He says, "Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it." And we'll stop here. Notice what the psalmist is doing here. He's asking God to guide his steps, or better, to redirect his walk along the walk along the path where God wants us to go, of his commandments for us. And once again, this is a prayer of divine guidance. It's a recognition from this psalmist that he cannot walk the right path on his own. How many times we have tried to do it ourselves, isn't it? And he needs God's help. He needs God's help to stay on the path that leads to life. He's saying like this, Lord, guide my steps, redirect my walk so that I can stay on the path of obedience to your word. Now that begs the question, why would the psalmist pray this way, isn't it? Well, the answer is in that verse there. Look at the second part of that verse. It says, for I delight in it. He prays this way because he delights in God's word. And you know what his desire is? His desire is that he wants to walk according to his word. But he knows this. He knows that only God can enable him to stay on that path. And so that's why he prays. I'm sure all of us know that we will face important decisions in our life this year. We may face various types of challenges. We may face different types of changes in our lives. And those who serve in ministry, there could be many changes. Now here's the truth. We cannot navigate the paths that we have on our own strength. On our own. We need God's direction to walk in his path. And so this prayer for God to redirect our walk, this is a plea from the psalmist for God to guide him in every area of his life. And when I say every area of life, means, you know, to flee from the world's path, the ways of sin, compromise, selfish ambition. We need to flee from all this. Instead, to choose, I'd like to say, the narrow path. And that is the path of obedience and faithfulness. Let me share with you one of my favorite verses in the Old Testament from Proverbs. And you guessed it right. It's chapter 3. There you go. The verses are coming to your mind now. Verse 5 and 6, isn't it? I know many of you know this verse. Let me just encourage us as we are talking about God directing our paths here. God's word says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And this is the main thing here. And he shall direct your paths. Are we trusting God to redirect our walk this year? Are we seeking his guidance for the decisions that we will face? What a prayer from the psalmist, isn't it? And we can pray this way. You see, the good news for us is that when we pray, Lord, redirect my walk, the good news is this, that we can trust that he will. Let me share with you a passage. Again, in Psalm 37, verse 23, says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Brothers and sisters, God is faithful. He's faithful to guide us and lead us when we humble ourselves and ask for his direction. So, let us pray with the psalmist today. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Well, the psalmist moves on from asking God to redirect our walk in, and now he goes to verse 36, to the importance of praying for God to restore our hearts. So look with me now in verse 36, And let's see what the psalmist continues to pray now. And in verse 36, he says, "Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness." Now, again, a powerful prayer here. And the psalmist prays for God to incline, or another word we can say, to turn, or better word, to restore his heart towards God's testimonies, towards his word. And this is a heartfelt plea here, saying, "Lord, take my heart, align it with your truth. Turn my desires from sin and other things, turn it toward you and your word and your ways." This is his prayer here. And notice something else in the second part of this verse. Look at verse 36. He says, "Incline my heart to your testimonies." And look at what he prays specifically for himself. He says, "And not to covetousness." Here the psalmist prays for God to turn his heart away from that. What is covetousness? It is greed. It is the desire for more wealth, more possessions, more power. It's wanting what we don't need or what belongs to somebody else. And isn't that the struggle of our time? Think about it, isn't it? And we see all around us the endless pursuit of money, the idolization of possessions, the belief that more stuff will make us happier or more secure. We see all around us the desire for power, for influence, and for recognition. And covetousness is so dangerous, brothers and sisters, because it shifts our heart away from God. And it brings discontentment. It brings self-centeredness. You see, it blinds our hearts to the blessings we already have. And this can even cause harm to our relationships, even to our spiritual walk. And so here, as the psalmist is praying, he realizes this. And he prays, "Lord, restore my heart." You see, the psalmist teaches us here that restoring our heart begins with praying, with prayer. Praying to God to transform us from inside out. What a prayer by the psalmist, isn't it? Like, if I would just stick on to this one verse, I would just meditate on it for so long, because how important this verse is for us, isn't it? You see, it's about surrendering our hearts to Him, letting God to purify us, to restore us, and to renew us. In Psalm 51, David prayed this same kind of prayer, similar. This is what he says. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." What a prayer for David, isn't it? So therefore, like the psalmist, I believe we should regularly pray, we pray to God to help us. Pray to God, "Lord, turn our hearts toward your word, toward your ways," as the psalmist is praying. And not just that, but let's pray, "God, guard our hearts against the pull of this covetousness and all the other sins that is dragging us, isn't it?" And let's continue to pray, "Lord, restore my heart." And here's the beauty of your prayer as you pray. God listens to our prayer. And what could be the result? The result which brings peace, as God restores it, it brings contentment, it brings joy for us. So may we pray like the psalmist here. So now, as we continue, let's look at verse 37 and let's see what the psalmist teaches us here. And he now, in verse 37, he prays to refocus our eyes on God. Listen to what he prays in verse 37. Follow me through. He says, "Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things." And he goes on to say, "And revive me in your way." And so now as we look at the aspect of what the psalmist is teaching us about prayer, we see that he is asking for help in turning his eyes away from the things that have no eternal value. And all of us know in our modern times, we are easily distracted, isn't it? Our eyes often wander to things that do not glorify God. And there are so many things that we can give examples for. But what I want to share with us is what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. Listen to this. The Lord Jesus said this, "The eye is the lamp of the body." You remember this verse? And it says, "If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light." This is what the Lord Jesus said. And here, what the Lord is saying, he's describing the eye as the lamp which lights the entire body. We need to understand this, that what we focus on with our eyes shapes our thoughts. It shapes our hearts and then our actions. Somebody has said this, our eyes are like a doorway to our souls. What we allow in through that doorway, and this is how he goes on to explain, can either lead us closer to God or pull us away from Him. And so when the Lord Jesus is speaking of having good eyes here, He meant more than just seeing clearly. Okay? He referred to a spiritual perspective, a perspective that discerns from your eyes of what is right, what honors God, and what has eternal value. So amazing prayer we see here. And if we have this perspective, I believe it's critical for all believers, isn't it? This perspective. Because especially those in leadership, it helps us to navigate challenges and it helps us to avoid the distractions of it and resolve conflicts with wisdom and grace. But now look at the second half of verse 37. And I want us to look at for a bit here to see what his next prayer is in this line. Look at verse 37, the second part of it. And he says, "And revive me in your way." And here, the word revive means to bring back to life. It means to revitalize. Many times at the start of the year, that is what we pray, isn't it? "Lord, revitalize my year. Give me more strength this year." And here, when the psalmist prays like that, he isn't just asking God to help him look away from the things that have no eternal value, but this is what he's actually asking. He's asking for a transformation. A transformation that fills his soul with purpose. A transformation that fills his soul with joy and a passion for God's ways. That's how amazing his prayer is. And I believe that we can learn so much from this psalmist, you know, from this verse here. Now we pray to the Lord, "Lord, revive our hearts again this year as we just begin the year. You know, fill us with your passion, fill us with your joy to serve you and to minister to others. Help us to walk according to your will." And then now we move to verse 38. And now we also see the psalmist continues to teach us another crucial prayer. Look at verse 38. This is a prayer for assurance for our souls through God's word. Look at verse 38. He said, he prays, establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. And here the word establish, it means to make firm, to confirm it, to for him to be reassured. You see, the psalmist is asking God to take his word and make it steadfast, make it certain in his life. This is what he is praying for. He's praying for God's promises to become an unshakable foundation for his faith. Now, as we look at this prayer and we look at what the psalmist is praying, you know, we can ask, he is very mature in his faith. Why is he praying like that? Why does this prayer matter? And the answer, I believe, is that because we all face doubts, isn't it? No matter whether you're a young believer or you're a seasoned believer, isn't it? There are moments in our life when we feel unsteady. There are times when our hearts cry out for something solid for us to anchor on. And what is that for us believers? The psalmist knew what was that. He knew that reassurance comes only from God's word. Listen to Psalm 19 verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Look at how the psalmist describes God's word. He says, it's converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is pure, making wise the simple. So brothers and sisters, when life feels uncertain, God's word reminds us that he is unchanging. God's word goes back to remind us that he is faithful. He's faithful to his promises. He's faithful to forgive us of our sins. It reassures our soul. So if today you need reassurance, this is your prayer. And you know where to get that. It's from his word. And notice something in verse 38. Look at the second part of verse 38. He says he is devoted to fearing God. Now, what does that mean? You know, the reverence here is not that, okay, I'm scared of you, God. It's about honoring him. It's a reverential fear. It's about respecting him. It's about living in awe of his greatness. So the psalmist, just like the psalmist, we can pray for God to reassure our souls through his word. I believe it must be our prayer for God to establish his word in our hearts so that we can live in confidence. We can, you know, we can have reverence for him. And when we are in trouble or when doubts come into our life, we can go before this God and anchor ourselves in his word. And I pray that this would be an encouragement for us this year. So as we move forward, let's consider our next truth the psalmist teaches us in this passage. And we are almost done for our passage. We are in verse 39 now. Psalm 119, verse 39. And here, the psalmist teaches us to pray for God to remove our reproach. Let's read the verse 39. The psalmist says, turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. And let's go back to this prayer and see what is the psalmist saying. What is he praying for? He's praying for deliverance from his reproach, and that is his shame, that is the disgrace or the guilt that weighs heavily on his heart. The word reproach refers to the feelings of embarrassment, of condemnation, of accusations, whether brought by his own failures or by the criticism and misunderstanding of others. So why is this prayer important? Why is it important to you and I? Because all of us, at some point of time, may have experienced or will experience shame or reproach in our lives. It's very important to know what to do, for what we need to do. Sometimes this reproach comes from our own mistakes and failures. Other times it may come from misunderstanding or even opposition to our faith. But notice what the psalmist does. He doesn't run from God. He runs to God. And he runs to God in prayer. And notice why he does this. Because he said this in his word. Look at the second part of verse 39. Why does he run to God in prayer? Because he says, "For your judgments are good." The psalmist recognizes that God's ways are better. God's ways are just. And he trusts in his goodness for God's judgment, not his own. So when we pray like the psalmist, we are acknowledging that God is just. So brothers and sisters, whatever reproach or shame we may be carrying, take it to the Lord in prayer. Whether it's something from your past or an ongoing challenge, my encouragement to us as we begin this year, take it to the Lord in prayer. Well, finally, we are in verse 40 now, and the psalmist now pours out his heart in prayer. And we'll see that the psalmist teaches us to pray to revive our spirit. Let's look at verse 40 now. And God's word says, "Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness." So he prays for God to revive him in his righteousness. And the word revive here speaks of a fresh outpouring of life, a spiritual awakening that comes only through walking closely with God. So once again, this is a prayer of transformation, a revival in his spirit that brings him joy, that brings him strength, that brings him purpose in this life and in God's presence. So as we begin this amazing year that God has given us, I believe we need that same longing for God's word. I believe we need to pray and let the Holy Spirit to reignite that desire. Reignite, you know, the desire in our hearts to go deeper in the scriptures, to know more about God and his word, to get to know more of him and to serve him. We need to be praying to be revived in this truth, isn't it? And not just that, but to experience his righteousness in every part of our lives. So as we finish today, let us remember that prayer is the pathway to a transformed life. And I encourage you to learn from the psalmist's prayer today. Now we have, you know, he teaches us to pray fervently by asking God to renew our minds, to redirect or guide our steps, to restore our hearts, to refocus our eyes. May he reassure your souls with the certainty of his word. And let's pray that he would remove any reproach that may hinder your walk with Him. Let's pray that God will revive us to embrace His word in our lives as never before this year. So may God answer these prayers in your life, in my life. And I just want to say once again, please continue to pray for our church as we strive to glorify God in all we do. And we are praying for you as well. Every week we are praying for you. And it is my prayer to God for His protection and blessings to be with you as the church, with Pastor Jane and Sue, with the leadership, and every member of this church. May our hearts continue to grow in love, in unity with each other as we follow the path that God has for you this year. So God bless you, and thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to minister. We pray that you have been encouraged in every way from God's word today. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of prayer and the transformative power it has in our lives. We pray for your continued guidance, your renewal, and your strength for this church family and all of us, O Lord. May your word be the anchor that keeps us steady. And may we walk in the fullness of your purpose for us all. We thank you so much for each and everyone here. We pray that we have learned from the psalmist today about prayer. And we pray that now as we go about our homes, that we would be able to look at it and let your Holy Spirit walk in our hearts, O Lord, that we would walk on prayer in our lives. Lord, help us, and I pray that you'd bless this church and all of them, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much.